from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number two. That guy right there is James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the Insiders. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube. We love our friends over at Jiffy Lube. Shout out to them. And shout out to ESPN 1320. That's this radio station. We're Sacramento sports leader. D'Lo and KC are coming up next. We're hanging out with you until noon. Then it'll be D'Lo and KC taking you into the weekend. Actually, they will take you up to 4 o'clock. Taking you into the weekend will be Knicks Pacers, which I have confirmed is on this radio station tonight.
Oh, nice.
I promoted it twice before asking if it was definitely happening.
Don't.
What's up? So Charlie, our terrific boss, prints this out. It is a paper that's just like, it's called the Lookie. I've never heard it called that, but that's what Charlie calls it. So that's what we're doing. And it's just got what we have coming up from a play-by-play standpoint this week. So we had Dallas OKC on Wednesday, Nuggets Timberwolves last night. We got Knicks Pacers tonight. Saturday, we will have a game at 5 o'clock. I don't know which game, but we'll have a game at 5 o'clock. And it just says, it says NBA teams TBA.
Oh,
to be announced.
Okay.
And so I wanted to make sure that we definitely still had Knicks Pacers tonight.
Okay. It should be a fun game.
Yeah. I can't wait.
I want to see.
I'm rooting hard for the Pacers.
Yeah. I want to see if the Pacers like step up like what we saw from Minnesota and like shock the world and push that game to 7.
Or do they
push that series to 7?
Lay down because they're star players hiding from the basketball. TBD. TBD. We'll talk about that a little bit later on in this hour. Let's continue our discussion looking at the Northwest Division today. We're going to look at each division in the NBA and the teams in that division and players from those teams that the Kings might pursue in free agency or via trade. And again, this is a pretty wide net. We're not trying to say these are the players they'll definitely go after or they should go after. It's like, maybe this guy. There's definitely some players who it's like, yes, this guy for sure. If Brandon Ingram is available for trade, the Kings should go pursue Brandon Ingram.
Yeah, I would say the same thing. Like if Aaron Gordon becomes available, yeah, go for it.
Right, if.
Like that would be that would be silly not to, but that's not going to happen. And that's we're living in sort of a realistic world. We're
doing
trying
our best.
We're trying.
There's definitely some hypotheticals, but also trying to be as realistic as possible.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the Jazz. What are the what is this team doing?
It's like when you go to a buffet.
Yes.
But it's not like a specific type of food buffet.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. So you're at the Bellagio.
Yeah, so you go to buffet, like some people like to go to like the Chinese food buffet, right?
Sure.
Where it has all kinds of Chinese food.
Yes.
And that's fine. And then sometimes you like to go like the hometown buffet, which I guess
love
has
a
like
hometown buffet.
It's more like home
style
cooking,
food.
Right? This is their team is kind of like a buffet that has no theme,
like a Vegas buffet.
Yeah, where it's just
you can
like,
get lobster and chicken nuggets, and a souffle, and some bacon.
Yes, Like, it's one of those buffets that doesn't make any sense.
Correct.
And so it's just a mixed bag of a whole bunch of pieces, because their idea is to collect as many draft picks as possible and rebuild on the fly using, like, hopefully high-end draft picks.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, they haven't really, like, struck gold in the lottery. And I like Keyonte George.
Good player.
Yeah, like, I think he's going to develop and be really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
But then after that, like, what do you do? What do you do with the contract of John Collins that you acquired? What do you do with Colin Sexton, who doesn't fit your timeline? What do you do with Jordan Clarkson, who, again, really, really doesn't fit your timeline? And then you got Lauri Markkanen around for one more year at $18 million, and everybody loves him and wants him to stick around. But does Lauri Markkanen really want to stick around when he's going to be a guy on a bad team for another 4 or 5 years?
Yeah. So Colin Sexton is the first name we have down here. He's got 2 years, $37 million left. That, to me, is a really, really high-quality Malik Monk replacement. I don't know what it would take to get him, though, because I don't know. Are the Jazz going to move forward with Keyonte George? They sprinkled in some Chris Dunn last year. They have Jordan Clarkson still.
Mm-hmm.
Colin Sexton just doesn't, like you said, A, fit their timeline, and B, fit their personnel.
Well, to me, Colin Sexton and Jordan Clarkson are very similar as players.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way to play those, you can't play them together, or it's just a holy mess, and right. No one's going to defend anyone. And so it's kind of like you have to pair them with the right backcourt mate, and they haven't done that. So, like, again, in Sacramento, I like the Monty Morris idea alongside Malik Monk off the bench. I like, you know, De'Aaron Fox alongside Keon Ellis. There are certain types of, like, backcourts that make sense.
Mm-hmm.
If they had, well, they refused to play him with Chris Dunn. Chris Dunn didn't play nearly as many minutes as most people thought he would there.
Right.
He was one of their better players when he did play, and then they just wouldn't play him. So he also fit with the other players. You know, it's kind of the yin and yang thing, right? You need a defensive-minded strong guy to go next to Sexton or to go next to Clarkson. If I'm the Kings, and if you lose Monk, Jordan Clarkson's the easiest replacement ever. Like, it's short-term.
Mm-hmm.
You got 2 years. He's older. And it, like, you got to prove up somebody else while you draft him.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. Like, I like Sexton too, but Sexton went in Sacramento would have to take a role as a backup. And like, would he settle into a role like, you know, what the Kings have made for Malik Monk? And I don't know. It's probably the best role for him.
I think he would.
Yeah.
I think he'd get a check. I think Colin Sexton's a dog. I think he wants to win. And I think if he came to Sacramento and they went, hey, this is the role you're going to have. Look at the success Malik Monk got. Look at the bag that Malik Monk got from playing here.
Yep.
I think he very much would. I would love that move for the Kings.
2 year, $37 million deal. That's what he has left.
That to me is...
It's basically what you're trying to get Malik to sign for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that idea. You mentioned Jordan Clarkson, 2 and 28. If they're going to move him, I would be in on that as well. Either one of those guys. Would be great because, like you said, not necessarily great together in Utah, but I think individually they would fit really, really nicely with Sacramento. Lauri Markkanen's the interesting one because he's got a year and $18 million left. The problem is A, the Jazz don't seem intent on moving him, and B, at 1 for 18, every single team in the league is going to be on the horn about adding Lauri Markkanen.
Yeah.
If he became available.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, not only does he help you today, but then you'd also have, he's not a restricted free agent, but you would have bird rights to him if you acquired him. And so you'd have this opportunity to extend him this summer. And so if, we've always heard in the past, like, oh, well, they want 5 first round picks for him or something.
Mm-hmm.
There might be teams out there that could give him 5 first round picks, like OKC. Yeah. Maybe he does fit right alongside Chet, and that's a guy that you're going to go chase.
Would you put Keegan on the table for him?
No. And, you know, like, I've been told in the past, like, the Kings wouldn't trade Keegan for Lauri Markkanen. They believe that Keegan will be a better player than Lauri Markkanen.
Man. All right.
Yeah. I mean, but we're talking about a guy who, you know.
I think that is where talks would stop with the Jazz. If Lauri Markkanen was available.
Yeah.
And Monty called Danny Ainge and said, hey, we would like Lauri Markkanen, one Lauri Markkanen, please.
Mm-hmm.
And they would go, great, we'll start with Keegan and four firsts.
Yeah.
And the Kings would go, how about Harrison Barnes?
Yeah.
And four firsts. and that's the end of the call.
No, it's probably the end of the call. Yeah. And like, I don't know. I don't know if you can get Markkanen out of there. His salary is so movable. It's crazy. That's the thing. You don't have to give up multiple pieces if you're giving up draft picks to get him. And I know that they've been collecting draft picks there like crazy. And you probably, I think if you offered, matching salary, whether it's Herter or it's, you know, a combination of two players or three players, and then on top of, or if you did like Harrison Barnes, and then you gave them four first round picks, they might listen. Like, I
think they'd listen for sure.
Yeah. I just don't know that that's a great idea. Like, you'd want to know that he's going to sign long term. And you're also looking at a player who misses a lot of games, played 55 this year, 66 year before, 61, 51. You know.
But enough about Brandon Ingram. Am I right?
No, I exactly.
I don't know. I just don't. I love the idea. I love the fit. I just don't. When
yeah,
it comes
be a
to
great fit next to.
Yeah, for sure. 1,000%. But because of that, I think you'd probably get out of their range in the bidding.
Yeah.
In the trade market, but who knows?
Yep.
And you wrote down here, and I'm with you, John Collins and THT, big nose.
No.
I want Talon Horton Tucker nowhere near my team.
Yeah, same with John Collins. Second John Collins steps on the court, the team gets worse.
It's crazy.
It's really weird.
Baffling.
Yeah.
All right, we gotta get to the Blazers too, because it wouldn't be an Insiders if we didn't talk about Jeremy Grant.
That's right. So,
we'll talk about that coming up in a bit, but we have good idea, bad idea. First, somebody predicted the Jets to win the Super Bowl. The A's are doing A's things, and Anthony Edwards made a bold prediction. We'll talk about it next on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
He's James, big Mr. Fab guy. Even though Mr. Fab...
I don't even know what his
Uber rating.
His music sounds like at all. I just know that my Uber rating got dinged one time because of him.
Tough. I'm still 5 stars on Lyft, it turns out.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. Well, I just got a text from Lyft that said, we noticed a new login to your Lyft account. Like, yeah, man.
Oh.
It was me. I did it. I did it.
That's awesome.
We still got to go through the rest of the Northwest Division on players the Kings should pursue. We have the Blazers left. We will do that in the next segment, so stick around for that. We'll also have our daily NBA salary cap question answered by our expert James, and we'll talk about the NBA playoffs tonight, New York at Indiana. A good idea or bad idea is, first, three headlines, three things going on in the sports world. We decided that it is a good idea or a bad idea. Number one, Mike Clay of ESPN, front and center at ESPN.com right now, has picked the New York Football Jets to win the Super Bowl. Good idea or bad idea?
Well, it's a bad idea because you're wrong. I mean, like, that's not going to happen. So, I mean, they almost fired their entire coaching staff this summer.
Sure.
They didn't. Like, it's a team that flamed out because they had no quarterback. And just because, like a 40-plus-year-old Aaron Rodgers steps on the field, that doesn't mean that you're instantly better than a team that has a much better quarterback,
mm-hmm.
whether it's at 40 or at 30 or 25 in Patrick Mahomes. Like, how are you going to beat the Chiefs? How are you going to... Like, how are you going to get by these other teams? Like, okay. Like, the Jets have a good defense, a really good defense. I'm just not convinced at all. I mean, they might make the playoffs, but I don't see them
I think they're going to make the playoffs. Aaron Rodgers is healthy. Their defense is really good.
Okay.
I would not pick the Jets to win the Super Bowl, but this is a great idea by Mike Clay because he's trying to get clicks on his thing.
Mm.
And he got me. He got me like, all right, Mike, what do you got?
I guess if that's all you're there for is just to get clicks, okay.
Yeah, dude, if you're actually making a pick, if you're like, I'm going to earnestly look at this and I'm going to try and make the correct prediction for which team is going to win the Super Bowl,
mm-hmm.
the thing you do there is you try and eliminate variables. And the Jets have the biggest variable.
Okay.
They have a 41-year-old quarterback who's 40, 41, 42, however old Aaron Rodgers is now. They have a 40-plus-year-old quarterback who is coming off a torn Achilles.
He'll be 41 in December,
turns 41 this year.
Yep.
He's not proven anything that with this team that he can still play.
Mm-hmm.
That's a massive question mark. So I'm not picking the Jets to win the Super Bowl. If they're good, I wouldn't be surprised. But when the quarterback is as big of a question mark as it is in New York, that's not a prediction I would like to make. Number two, the A's, according to some reports, are open to taking offers on super electrifying dominant closer Mason Miller. James, good idea or bad idea for the A's?
It's a horrible idea. Well, I mean, sure, it's a good idea because you have no farm system at all. So maybe you can somehow bolster your farm system, but no. 25 years old, and he's under team control for another five seasons after this year. Like, this is crazy talk. This guy is so good right now.
Dominant.
In 14 games, he's pitched 18 innings. He struck out 38 in 18 innings. Mm-hmm. He's only allowed two earned runs the entire season. He's only walked five guys. I mean, this guy is 38 strikeouts, man.
Crazy.
He is so good right now. And not only that, but he can give you two innings as a closer. Man, he is super, super impressive. He's the only thing you have going for your team, the only thing that's exciting about your team right now. And I don't get it at all. Well, I do get it. They're the Bay Area A's of Oakland/Sacramento.
Yeah.
This is the reason why you don't want this team to end up in Sacramento and stuck here with the same ownership group. That's the only thing.
John Fisher's A's.
Yeah, this is John Fisher's A's, exactly. Right. You can't even like the one guy that you have who's like electric to
he
to
has
watch.
So there's an advanced stat called fielding independent pitching.
Okay.
Baseball Reference defines it as this stat measures a pitcher's effectiveness at preventing home runs, walks, hit by pitches, and causing strikeouts. Mm-hmm. So it takes your defense out of the equation. Because, you know, if you have an elite defense behind you that's turning a bunch of hits into outs, your ERA is going to look better than a pitcher who may be better but has a worse defense behind him.
Mm-hmm.
He has a negative 0.21 FIP. That means the A's gain runs by having Mason Miller throw pitches.
Hmm. That's crazy.
That is insane. That's like impossible. That's ostensibly having a negative ERA. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah, no.
It makes nonsense.
No.
And the A's are going to trade this guy because, of course, because why would you want to have anything exciting ever?
Ever. Let me, just for sake of, you know, like why they're the A's. Their first baseman, Ryan Nota, is batting 128. Their second baseman, Zach Geloff, is batting 188. Their shortstop, Nick Allen, is batting 171. Their third baseman right now is Brett Harris. He's batting 139. Their left fielder, Seth Brown, is batting 174. Their right fielder is Lawrence Butler. He's batting 170.
Yeah.
I mean, the only thing you have going for you is that you have Mason Miller.
Brent Rooker's hitting 281.
Yeah, guys on the secondary guys. Yeah. They've got a 288 there by Abraham Toro.
Sure.
They also have McCann, their backup catcher, is batting 317. Yeah. And Soderstrom is up and batting 318 right now.
Look at him go.
Alrighty.
In 25 plate appearances.
That's right.
Watch out, everybody. Yeah, I don't...
It's just tough. Like, I know this is... Just like it's Major League all over again.
It's just but, well, and it has been. That's why people stopped going to games.
Yeah,
because you'd get brutal. Excited about Mason Miller, and then he'd get traded for a bunch of guys that you have to go to Midland to watch. Brutal. Last one. Good idea or bad idea? Anthony Edwards, as he was leaving game five in Denver, told the locker room staff, "I'll be back. See you next weekend."
Mm.
Good idea or bad idea?
Well, it's a good idea now.
It's a great idea.
Because he'll be back next weekend.
That's an all-time great idea. That's why Anthony Edwards is the best. That's why Anthony Edwards is the best. I love that guy. Yep. I was going to play the audio, but he says the F word in the audio.
Yeah.
He says the F word a lot in his audio. It's fine.
It's fine.
That's why he is who he is.
It's just we can't play it on the radio.
Yeah. Go look for the sound on the internet. It's great. And it's honestly, that's why I think that's a big reason I believe in the Timberwolves so much is because, Kenny talked about this the other day on D'Lo and KC, but Draymond saying like, look at their faces, look at their body language. They know they can't win. And maybe that was true for Rudy Gobert or Karl Anthony Towns or Kyle Anderson or whoever. That's never going to be true for Anthony Edwards. And when you have a player like that out front,
mm-hmm.
that can change a lot of things. And I think that's a big reason that they bounced back as much as they did in game six last night was because they have their best player has that immense belief that they can go win every single game that they step on the court because of him.
Yeah. I mean, this is going to be a really, really riveting game seven.
Yeah. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
Hopefully we get another game seven. The Knicks and Pacers play game six tonight in Indiana. You can listen to that game right here on ESPN 1320. 5 o'clock coverage begins on Sacramento's sports leader. Let's talk about the Blazers, players on that team to finish up the Northwest Division. We'll talk about players that the Kings could pursue who play for Portland. We'll have James explain a salary cap thing to me like I'm five. And we'll have the handoff. D'Lo and KC. All that's coming up in the final segment here on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Center.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Yo.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen.
Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320. Yeah, we got it. I'm out on Tyrese Halliburton in Prize Picks.
Oh, yeah?
Done, bro. Done with him.
He's burned you.
Done.
Won't get fooled again.
He scores 6 points or whatever in freaking game one. So I'm like, all right, Tyrese, I see how this series is going to go. We're going to go less on your point projection. This is Prize Picks Daily Fantasy. And I go, okay, I'm going to bet you 2 to 6 players. You pick more or less on their stat projection. And then you party on. And I went, great. I see what kind of series is going to be. Less than 21.5. Nope. 33 the next game. All right. Well, great. I'm not really sure what we're going to kind of get from Tyrese here. So I'm going to take a backseat and not pick him. 34 points. Great. All right. I see what Tyrese has got cooking. More than 20.5 points. Gives me 20. Okay. But that was a blowout. He had 20. He sat most of the fourth quarter. All right. We're going to go more than in the next game. Gives me 13. I'm done. Done. Launch him to the freaking moon.
Yeah, in Prize Picks, you cannot when a player is doing this, you've got to look at it and just take a step back. You know, like there are certain players that like start getting on a run and start doing something specific all the time.
Yep.
And that's where you're like I joke around, the Keegan Murray dunk.
It was hilarious.
It was 0.5. And I love to every single day do the Keegan Murray dunk, right?
It was easy work.
And then as soon as he dunks, I would, Keegan Murray dunk. I tweet it out. Everyone celebrates, right?
Yeah.
So, but then he stops doing it. He stops getting dunks. Well, first of all, they took it away because it kept happening too often. Mm-hmm. So anyway, like there are certain things that you can focus on in Prize Picks that, mm-hmm. that are successful. And then other things that are just like it's a hot mess. Like trying to figure out if Domantas Sabonis is going to have 43.5 points, rebounds, assists combined in a game. Like you have no idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm done with Tyrese. PJ Washington, same thing.
Yeah.
I tried to ride the PJ Washington. Oh, he is cooking wave. Bottomed out. All right. Whatever. Whatever, dog.
I told you.
I'm going to stick with my first inning, more or less half a run scored.
First inning, more or less half a run. The wildest.
And I'm going to rock
wildest,
from there.
Wildest. Yeah.
Anyways, love Prize Picks. Shout out to them. They should sponsor this segment.
That's right.
Let's talk about the Blazers real quick before we talk about the playoff game tonight. And we'll try and get to our salary cap thing.
Okay.
The Northwest Division, that is the Thunder, Nuggets, Timberwolves, Jazz, and Blazers. We have talked about the other four teams. We have not gotten to the Blazers yet. If you missed us talking about the other four teams, we did so in the first hour and then the first part of this hour. You can go to the James Hamm and Kyle Madsen show wherever you get your podcast, and you can listen to that. It will be uploaded a little bit later today, or you can just rewind the YouTube video.
There it is.
Find us talking about those. Okay, the Blazers. First name here is a guy we've talked about a lot last year at the trade deadline. We've talked about him a lot this offseason. I'm sure we'll continue to talk a lot about him. Jeremy Grant, 4 years, $132 million left. Doesn't really fit the timeline of what the Blazers are trying to do. Maybe they'll try and move off of him. I feel like you and I are both in the same spot with Jeremy Grant, where good player,
mm-hmm.
but... And probably an upgrade for the Kings over Harrison Barnes.
Yeah.
But how much of an upgrade? Does it get them to, or are they a rock solid playoff team now? Like for sure? Are they a championship contender? I don't think they're a title contender with Jeremy Grant. I would feel better about them making the playoffs if they had him. But that just, it feels like a mostly marginal move that ties them up financially for the next few years.
Yeah, I think that it is he's a better player, and he's even a better fit. And not only that, but he's played with Jokic, so he understands how to play with a big.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like there are some things about Jeremy Grant that's very appealing. Mm-hmm. The problem is that he just makes way too much money, and it's silly cash. I mean, you're on the hook for him for another 4 years at $132 million, and he's 30. Like that just doesn't like move the needle. Like it's not worth. Again, Harrison Barnes makes $18 million this year, next $19 million mm-hmm. next year. Jeremy Grant in like his fourth season makes like $36 million.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's a lot.
That's a lot of money.
It's basically what you're paying just for these 2 years of Harrison Barnes. Mm-hmm. And yeah, he's a better player. I mean, at this point still, he's long, he's athletic.
Yes.
I think he could certainly add something to what the Kings are doing, especially on the defensive end.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think it's that much where you're like paying that much money.
Yeah, he makes what, $30 million more than Harrison Barnes?
Well, I mean, if you want to look at the total of the 4-year deal, he's going to make $100 million more.
For the next 2 years.
The next 2 years, yeah, it's about $30 million more.
Is he a $30 million better than Harrison Barnes?
No.
I don't think so either.
No.
Like, he's definitely a better player. You know what you're going to, I think you have a better idea of what you're going to get night in and night out,
mm-hmm.
which is helpful. But again, to me, that paying that type of money to a player, that needs to be a player that you're going, oh yeah, that guy gets us into title contention. And I don't think Jeremy Grant does.
No, I don't think so either. I mean, Jeremy Grant and a couple other moves, but mm-hmm. Jeremy Grant is an all-in move financially.
Exactly. That's a good way to put it.
And you don't get away from the financial, like the finances just keep getting worse over the next 4 years.
Yeah. And then we have a couple other players we've talked about a lot with the Blazers. Malcolm Brogdon and Matisse Thybul.
Mm-hmm.
Which one of those two players would you rather have?
I would much rather have Malcolm Brogdon. I really like Malcolm Brogdon.
Okay.
I think he's totally underrated. I think he's a solid veteran. He plays with force. Is he a great defender? Does he get hurt too much? Yeah, but I like everything about Malcolm Brogdon. And, you know, he's getting older. He's on a 1-year, $22 million deal. It wouldn't cost you that much, I don't think, to get him out of there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he fits in seamlessly and makes you a much better team. And that's where, like, I think the Kings need to do a move like that, where we're talking about top six guy in your rotation right there.
Yeah, he's your new sixth man.
Yeah, like, I mean, even if you're able to bring back Monk, that would still be really solid. And you could mm-hmm. do 3-guard sets, which would be nuts with that group. But I also think that, like, he's just a type of solid veteran piece that the Kings could really use.
So, yeah, it doesn't cost a lot either.
Yeah.
22.5 for one more year.
Yep. And
yeah, I think I'd take that.
I think Thybul's been a guy that's been mentioned with the Kings for so many different times. Like,
because he's exactly what we always talk about.
Yeah.
He's a really, really excellent, lengthy defender. He's improved his 3-point shooting mm-hmm. a little bit. He shot 38.8% with Portland last year in 22 games. This year, he was 34.6. He's reaching the point where teams have to actually guard him when he's hanging out in the corner.
Yeah.
And that wasn't always the case. But he's been all defense, second team twice. I get the argument for Malcolm Brogdon.
Mm-hmm.
But with Matisse Thybul at $11 million a year for the next couple of years, man, I would take that.
I get it, but I would also caution that I don't think he's better. Like, he's a little bit better defensively. Like, he's been all NBA defensive team, but he's, mm-hmm. but at this point in his career, 27, I think he's a little bit better defensively than Keon Ellis, and Keon Ellis is basically free. And so I just don't know that you want all of those
sure.
types of players. You know, if Thybul is 6'7", 6'8", sure.
Yeah.
But at 6'5", he's more of a 2-3 than he is a 3-4.
Mm-hmm.
The Kings really need that 3-4 defender.
Sure.
So I'm a little out on Thybul at this point.
Okay. Right on. That's Portland Trail Blazers.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure all of those names are going to come up again.
Of course.
The Blazers are going to be a popular team this offseason.
I think they are too. Even Ayton, I think, will be, you know, a player that's mentioned, but yeah, the Kings wouldn't go anywhere near that.
No.
No.
I don't think any logical team would at this point. Is DeAndre Ayton a good bad player or a bad good player?
Bad good player or a good bad player? Oh, I don't know.
I don't either.
That's it. Yeah. I don't think he's developed. Like, he was really good with Chris Paul.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Take away Chris Paul. What is he? And I don't know. Like, I also was there the night.
He's averaging 17-11 for his career.
Yeah. Yeah.
Man.
Phoenix always gets off the hook. You know, Phoenix also, just so people remember, they also passed on Luka Doncic
yep.
with the number one pick in that draft. And I was there the night where Kelly Oubre, like right at the end of the fourth quarter, hammered Marvin Bagley and broke his thumb. But also that night, Aiton had tested positive. We saw him like get pulled into a room and then came back right before he tested positive for steroid use for PEDs and was allowed to play on opening night for some reason, and then was suspended after the game for 25 games or something. It was ridiculous.
What a weird thing.
Yeah, it was weird.
His numbers in the last few games of the year, 34-13, 22-14, 30-13, 25-11. It just doesn't matter. Like, he's just not an impactful guy.
Yeah.
But he's obviously good at basketball. But I don't know. I don't buy it with DeAndre Ayton.
No.
Weird. He's a bad good player.
Okay.
He's a good player who doesn't affect winning.
Okay. I mean, that makes sense. He puts up stats.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's like career-wise, he's way...
TJ McConnell is a good bad player.
Okay. No, that makes sense.
Does it? Okay,
yeah.
Good.
Yeah, so
that's
I
not
mean,
disrespect to TJ McConnell.
No, Ayton's put up better stats than Marvin Bagley has for his career, but I kind of put them in the same boat. Like, how much do you impact winning? And the answer is not very much, in my opinion.
Hmm. I wouldn't put him in the same boat. DeAndre Ayton's way better than Marvin Bagley.
Well, yeah, he's way better, but I mean, what's Marvin for his career? 14-7.
Sure.
Like, I get what you're saying, but like he doesn't impact winning. Like,
sure.
I don't believe.
He went to the finals.
Yeah.
Not a finals team. Yeah. I don't know. Either way, not going to be a factor for the Kings. So before we get to the playoffs tonight, can you explain this to me like I'm five?
Okay.
We did the salary cap yesterday because I do a bunch of NFL stuff, and that is, here's the cap. Every team is beholden to this number.
Mm-hmm.
And in the NFL or in the NBA, it's like, here's this cap. And you got to be, but also there's a floor, and also you can go over it a little bit, and if you can go over it a lot, but you got to pay more, it's a whole thing. So we talked about that a little bit yesterday. What is the luxury tax, and why does it exist?
Okay, so the luxury tax is a dollar figure that's roughly $30 million higher than the salary cap.
Okay.
So we have the NBA salary cap at this coming season is going to be $141 million, right?
Yes.
And that is the number that... like if you're way below it, then you're a team with room and you can sign players, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you're a team that's above the cap, but not above the luxury tax, then you still get like a full mid-level exception. You still get a full biannual exception. The luxury tax is this number that's out in space. It's like, hey, don't go above this number, because if you do, we're going to tax you. So for every $5 million that you go over the luxury tax, you get hit with a tax bill, which is basically the first, I think the first $5 million is dollar for dollar. The second $5 million is like $1.50 for every dollar over.
Right.
But then it starts to jump. If you get $15 million over the luxury tax,
mm-hmm.
And then now we have these aprons as well. These are a new thing that have been inserted over the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
The aprons are just like heavier, like basically penalties for going over the luxury tax.
We'll do a dive into the aprons as part of this for sure.
Yeah, yeah. So for right now, people should just know that the luxury tax is at $171,315,000 for next season. And it could go up a little bit based on like the final numbers from the 2023-24 season,
mm-hmm.
like basketball related income. It could go up a little bit, but just assume it's going to be around $171 million.
Okay.
The Kings are at like $152 million in dedicated salary right now. They're $19 million under the luxury tax. When you hear tax team, again, it does take away like a huge part of your mid-level exception. Your mm-hmm. exception goes from like this year's $12.8 million all the way down to like 5.something million.
Sure.
So the more money you spend, the more the NBA is trying to restrict what you can spend.
Mm-hmm.
It's a way for the league to try to balance out good teams, bad teams.
Sure.
So you have a salary floor,
mm-hmm.
you have a salary cap, then you have this other number that's roughly $30 million above that is the luxury tax. Anything above that, you start getting penalized. And that's why the Warriors paid, I think the grand total was like $176 million in luxury tax for last year.
Just in tax.
And if they would have the same salary for this season, they would have paid like $236 million in luxury tax under the new rules.
Yeah.
There's a point where you're literally paying like $350 for every dollar over.
Yeah.
So
that was like, and Drew Down might know this exact number off the top of his head, but I seem to remember when the Warriors acquired Kelly Oubre, his contract was like $18 million or $20 million or whatever it was, but it cost the Warriors like $80 million to roster him.
Yeah, it was absolutely crazy.
Insane.
Absolutely crazy.
I'm no Drew Down, but I believe that's accurate.
Yeah.
It was something absurd.
Damian Barling, here that's for the handoff.
I am here.
It was a ridiculous amount of money for Kelly Oubre.
Yeah.
Who didn't impact a lot of winning.
And the number, like Tom L. throws it out here, like the luxury tax has been about 21.5% above whatever the salary cap is since 2018-19. It's an arbitrary number that's put out there. It's based off of basketball related income and a percentage of that, and it's just a way to tell teams, hey, this is where you should stop spending.
Yeah.
And then some teams are like, nope, I'm
keep
going
yeah.
going for it.
Yeah.
Hey man,
hey,
happy Friday.
Indeed. Absolutely.
Of all of your outfits, this jacket I think is my favorite one.
Mm.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, yes. I've keep track. I have power rankings in my head.
Oh, very good. Yeah, no, yeah, I appreciate it. This Actively Black jacket is very, very popular.
It's incredible. Good. I'm glad. Pacers Knicks tonight. You're just in time.
Oh, I'm excited.
5 o'clock right here on ESPN 1320.
No, I'm legit excited for this game. I hate that it's starting at 5, but well, I have stuff to do. I'm still on the air, so I won't get to enjoy it.
Sure.
Like I would if it started at 7 or whatever, but yeah, I was bummed this game wasn't on last night. I'm legitimately excited for this game. I do not know what to expect. I don't think we'll see what we saw last night, but we already have seen that in this series, so who knows? Yeah.
We were just talking about this at the top. I've tried to figure out what you're going to get from Tyrese Halliburton night in and night out.
Yeah.
And I feel like, yeah, it's game six, back against the wall, you're at home. You're probably going to get a good version of the Pacers. Probably. Hopefully. Mm-hmm. Maybe.
The numbers say you will. The numbers say you'll get a good version of Tyrese Halliburton. Like Kenny caused a stir the other day by asking if Tyrese was a role player. But
it's a great question.
There was a reason he asked it, and we, you know, it kind of it launched into a greater discussion. And it was the old adage about the way you play on the road versus the way you play at home, and how well role players play at home versus the way that they play on the road. And Tyrese's numbers are really good at home, and they're ass on the road.
Mm.
And it's like, bro, you can't be that. Like, you're 1A on this team. Like, and he's, you know, like, I'm not, he's going to learn. And I think my concern with him was, at least as it regards to that stat, is he has the tendency to like fall back. He did that a lot during the season, and that is a lifelong tendency. Mm-hmm. He told us on this show that people have asked him to shoot more his entire career. He told us in press conferences. His dad told us on this radio station that he's been telling him to shoot more. It's a thing that he refused to do in Sacramento. He started to do it when the Indiana trade happened. And now you just kind of see these like off and ons with his willingness to shoot. And like Stan Van last game, like, you, why is he passing the ball in midair at the rim?
Insane.
And you need points. Like, you're right there to get points, and you chose to go something else. You're a great distributor. You're a great passer. Mm-hmm. You're a great point guard. Your team needs points, and you're right there to give it to them, but you get rid of the ball. And that's something that I don't know if his personality, he's the type of person who needs to be reminded to do something, or if it's just so against his nature that it's difficult for him.
Weird.
Well, it makes you wonder, though, because, I mean, the Kings have Sabonis, who does the same thing.
Yep.
Like, there are plenty of times where, like, hey, man, your team needs 30 from you tonight, and all you got is 22 because you don't try to go get the extra. Because
you got 12 assists.
Four shots, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then, but it also brings you to the question about Keegan Murray. Like, will Keegan ever be a player that you don't have to ask him all the time?
Yep.
You know what I mean? It's like I have children. Like, you ask them to do certain chores. Some of them they do, and some of them they don't. And some of them is like, I shouldn't still have to ask somebody to take the trash out.
Mm-hmm.
It's like one of the few jobs you have. Every time you walk by the trash, you should be checking on it. I still have to ask. And so you're always wondering, is it going to be that? Are you going to have to sit there and like, Keegan Murray's first quarter, I need you to score more?
I think it's a personality quirk.
Yeah,
because I always use the example of Jesse. Jesse has been molded into like a radio producer by us. And he's like, I asked Jesse to do something once and he does it every day.
Mm-hmm.
Like he didn't, hey, can you do this again mm-hmm. today? Can you? He does it every single day. Like that's his personality. He doesn't need to be, hey, Jesse, don't forget to do this. Hey, Jesse, can you do this? Two mm-hmm. weeks later, Jesse, hey, I need you to. No, I asked him to do it once and all right, that's what I'm going to do now.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think that's his personality. He's going to go do what he has to do.
Mm-hmm.
Some people will fall back and allow the, you know, the picture to be painted a little bit before they throw their color on it.
Yeah. Mm. It would be one thing if he was passing to not Aaron Nesmith and Andrew Nembhard.
Yeah.
Not that those guys are bad players. I think they're, but they're not like, hey, we need a bit. The Knicks are on a 10-0 run.
Yeah.
Jalen Brunson is cooking. We need a bucket.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's you, dog.
Mm-hmm.
Like you, it's going to be you. Mm-hmm. You have to do that.
And yeah, they shouldn't have to go out and get another 1A. Like
1,000%, dude.
They went out and got Siakam.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how many more do you need? You already got Miles. Like,
they have a good team.
Yes.
And this is where, you know, this it's an interesting thing watching them and watching Dallas. Those are two teams that, you know, there wasn't a massive overhaul in Indiana like there was in Dallas. And maybe it's a bit of a stretch to call it a massive overhaul, but they did get a lot of really important pieces. And they have been able, in the flow of the season and postseason, to change the way that they've played. They've had some of their most impressive wins since the trade deadline in the last handful of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Indiana doesn't have that signature yet. And I'm not going to discredit them beating the Bucks, but... Oh, it is like it is what it is. Like Dame was gone, Giannis was gone. Like that was a.
It's a valid series victory.
Absolutely,
but we're not penciling in the Pacers as like a, oh wow.
But there was
there was third round every year.
There was nothing in that series that made me look like whoa.
Yes.
Whoa.
We didn't learn anything.
Nah, and I can still learn something this series
mm-hmm.
by the Pacers with the Knicks. Shoot, we could learn something tonight, but. I have no idea what to expect. I need to see something from New York on the road, too.
Yeah, definitely. We have like 30 seconds. Mm-hmm. Are you in on the Timberwolves moving forward? Not necessarily in this playoffs. Like, they could lose game 7. But I was very skeptical of the Timberwolves as like a factor over the next couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
They showed me something last night.
Really? Yeah. No, I'm in on the Timberwolves. Yeah, I wasn't in October.
Yeah, right, same.
I started to come around as the season went along, and it was like, all right, there's something here. Mm-hmm. And then by the end, you know, the final quarter of the season, it was like, all right, this is what national media and the people who cover with the Timberwolves, this is what they've been talking about for the last mm-hmm. 2 years. It's finally here, and we're finally seeing it. And it was absolutely on full display last night against Denver.
All right, very good. James, great job today. We will see you on Monday for the Insiders at 10 a.m. D'Lo and KC coming up next. I usually ask you guys what you got coming up. I am.
You. I have you.
I'm a,
it's me and
12,
you.
15.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Just me and you today?
Just me and you.
Oh,
like
okay.
Tony.
Oh, great.
James, you know that song, right? Boys in the Hood soundtrack?
Sure.
Perfect. That's our show, everybody. D'Lo and KC next on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78 million pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.